In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I can show you the purse.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to That Twin Mama Podcast. Your girl Lauren here. And today, I'm very excited. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. Have never been there before, but I couldn't think of a better guest to have and fly out for than Lauren Paley.
Shining, shimmering, angry.
Not only do we share the same name, you might know her as the Stairwell Siren. The viral sensation of beautiful vocals in her apartment garage at the time that literally stopped the internet. But not only is she a beautiful vocalist, also a mom, a creator, wildly known about sharing her life, but also sharing like beautiful Dizzy songs as she sings on her page. And today we're talking about all the things, her as a creator, postpartum anxiety, and we might even get to see her sing a little bit at the end.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Verde. Let's do it.
Lauren, girl, thank you for being here.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. I am so happy to be reunited with
yes,
you.
Yes.
I feel like we just had our reunion.
Yes, I know. I know. You have to tell our listeners, like, where did we meet? We met on the Disney cruise.
Yes, the Disney Creator Celebration at Sea.
At Sea.
Yes.
When was that? What? Like, I feel like time is, was it January?
I feel like it was so long ago.
I know.
It was end of January,
it was
right?
End of January.
I think we got home on February 1st.
We did.
So,
because I remember February was when we were like posting stuff about it.
Yes.
We were just there.
So not long ago.
Yeah, not that long ago.
But also a lifetime ago.
I feel like it was so, it was kind of serendipitous because we happened to, there's a lot of creators, but we were sitting next to each other at the dinners.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law, I think, struck up a conversation with
her.
I know, Ellen,
she's
shout out to best. Ellen Verde. She's the best. She's like literally the life of the party. But struck up a conversation with you all. And then we just became like besties.
I know. Of course, like at, by the end, we were like, okay, why didn't we start hanging out?
From the beginning. You know, we had our kids. Then we went to karaoke that night, right? Or
Yes.
The last night.
Very last night.
And then we sang. So I was wondering, were you nervous for karaoke? Because like,
yes.
Really?
Very.
So funny story. Lauren, like, obviously sings for millions, literally over like 15 million people across her platforms. But you seemed a little nervous before we were about to go on. So I was going to warm up the stage because I can sing, psych. So I get up and sing Scrubs.
Oh, it was amazing.
But then you went up and you killed it. People were in the audience were like, is she
I was very
Rapunzel?
Clearly nervous. But
I don't think you were. I think you killed it. But I think I just knew what you were saying right before. So
it's funny because I started, I mean, since I was little, I was performing, doing theater.
Yeah.
And being on stage. I mean, the internet wasn't like a thing. Went to college, did theater, performed, didn't really post online.
Right.
Or just like, you know, did a little bit of Instagram when it came out, MySpace, Facebook, posting. But now that I'm so internet focused, it's so much scarier to get on a stage.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even a stage. It was karaoke. It was like the lowest stakes ever. But I don't know, still something about singing live, even though I was so used to it back then, now it's new.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to sing behind a screen, even if 15 million people are seeing
listening,
it.
Yeah.
Than singing Disney karaoke on a cruise ship at 11.
It's so funny you say that because Ryan, my husband, as some of you all know, is like a touring musician. So when he plays like big stages, like he'll play Brazil, there'll be like 50,000 people there. Easy peasy.
Insane.
When he played like The Tonight Show, he was like, oh, it's The Tonight Show, so there's that. But it was like just more of an intimate setting. And you can see people's eyes looking at you. So something maybe, even though it was just karaoke.
Honestly, like there is a difference between singing live in an intimate little venue than being like on a stage where you can't see the audience. That's weirdly less scary.
Yeah.
Because you almost can feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it was intimate, but it was still like people were sitting there and
I mean, people were blown away. Everyone by the end of it thought that you were Rapunzel. Like they thought, I think it's sweet. Mandy Moore who sings
it is.
The actual song. Yes. But like everyone was a like, queen. Oh, she must be. That so
I know kudos. It's so, you killed. So nice.
I was so proud. But speaking of which, so like I just feel like the Disney cruise like embodied so much. Like we were doing a lot with our kids, and you know there was lots of things to do. We were tired at times, but like also so magical. Like what would so you magical. Say was like maybe your favorite part? Or
well, it was my first time on a Disney cruise. I think yeah. yours as well.
Yeah,
right?
same. My first really
my first like ever. Disney experience with Piper. Yeah. Like obviously we constantly sing Disney. She loves. Yeah. Disney shows, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, yeah. but it was like my first time seeing her
yeah.
in a Disney environment. It was like a little free, it was like an appetizer to going to Disney yeah. World, but yeah. so amazing. Yeah. And watching her meet the characters right. and meeting the princesses for the first time, I was yes. like, I cannot stop crying. I like know, I will I be know. Crying forever yeah. over this. Like I think about it and I get teary-eyed, and that's yeah. why I'm thankful that we create content and take yes. a lot of video, because I will go back and rewatch those videos.
So, same.
It like, was so magical.
So magical. And I think the thing about Disney Cruise too is like it's so intimate. Like you will, there's no way you can't meet a character.
Exactly.
Even if you don't sign up to meet a character, they're just walking around yep. like they met every single princess yep. and like can you like they really believe, like just seeing the magic of their eyes. And like, mm-hmm. I want to get teary eyed about it, because it's just like, it makes everything worth it. Like, you know, there was a nightmare coming on the flight there. There was all this stuff. But as soon as we got there and like they saw Cinderella and she like walked us to our room, girl, yeah. bye. It was the best.
A different world. I swear yes. when you walked onto that cruise ship, you were royalty.
Yes.
The best like customer service I've ever experienced. Like the kindest staff.
Yes.
You guys are amazing.
Yes.
And also the fact that you can meet characters yeah. like constantly, that is definitely kind of a different story at Disney World.
Right.
You have a lot yeah. more people.
And there's rides and it's
huge. You can track on the app and see yeah. like when certain characters are going to be places, but the lines are huge.
Yeah.
Not to say the Disney Cruise lines don't also get long, but.
But not the same.
Not the same.
Not the same. No, I totally agree. And I just think that's like something that I feel like is getting a lot of traction now, because like motherhood is hard, right? Mm-hmm. But there's just so many like moments where you're just like, this is like, I just love you and I want more of you. And like your heart just opens up so much. But this thing that's trending now, I don't know if you saw Chappelle Roan had like made a comment on, I think, Call Her Daddy about how like it just motherhood seems like hell.
I just re-listened to it actually because I started listening to that episode. I love Call Her Daddy.
Yeah, I love
I'm
it
actually
too.
A big fan. I listened to, I think, every episode. Nice. And I had to go back and finish that episode to understand what people were talking about.
Yeah.
So I have heard.
So, yeah. So I didn't listen. All I saw were, like, the viral clips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I see everybody's reaction to it. And I think for my reaction was just, like, a lot of people were saying in the comments, well, it's not motherhood. It's more, like, the lack of support that we get and things like that. And I often joke on my page about like how motherhood is hard or like things like that.
I was like, it's hard.
It is hard. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Yeah.
But in that same vein, it's like.
It's also the best.
The best.
And two things can be true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And is that how you feel? Like, is that what the. When
absolutely.
You've listened
to the whole episode? Not offended by her comment whatsoever. I know people were a little like up in arms.
Yeah.
It's literally the hardest thing ever.
Yes.
But it's also brought me the most joy I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
And. The world is my world is so much better because she's in it. Wouldn't change a thing, but like
hard as hell.
Damn, really, really hard.
Yeah.
So I get it, and
yeah,
it is what it is.
And I think if you're a 20 something and you don't have kids, like it makes sense for. Yeah. Like, I mean, that makes sense. I think it's something that you either understand or don't. But when you see moms complaining, quote unquote, I never look at a mom and be like, I think she just hates being a mother. It's more just like she's. Feel like having a hard time, and I see you.
Yeah.
Like you're not alone. It's good to talk about the hard parts.
Absolutely.
But it's also like I didn't know my heart could love this much.
I go searching for people talking
yes,
about the hard
parts.
Because
right.
sometimes it's like I don't see enough. Well, I see a lot of beautiful things online, and I love like watching the wholesome mother child moments online. But like sometimes I go searching. I'm like,
girl,
struggling.
Show me like, the struggle bus.
Yes. See the struggle to feel validated.
Yes.
in my own feelings.
Exactly. And like not the curated, beautiful like kitchen. Yeah. Like I need to know that you're having a mess or you're not sleeping or you
right.
have
There's
anxiety.
A place for that. Like sometimes I love to watch like aesthetic
oh, yeah.
videos. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like it's all an act.
Yes.
Like
girl, social media.
I love Nara Smith.
Yes.
Like her videos. But she's playing that character.
Exactly.
And it's so fun to watch because you know that she's playing that character.
Right.
Because her dresses get more elaborate exactly. and cooking and everything. It's like, love to see that, but also love to see
yeah.
like Maya Knight with the twins.
Yes, 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 yes.
She really, I feel like she kind of just shows everything.
Real life. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Real life.
How it
she
is.
Doesn't like dress up.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like, this is my life.
Up.
She's super honest.
Yes.
And I really like that as well.
That's refreshing. You need both. I think
yeah.
like if you like the like there just seems to be a lane for everyone.
Yeah.
Where I think like especially if you're struggling and you mm-hmm. see the Nara Smith is obviously playing a character. The
right.
people that don't realize that I'm like y'all it's she's not see, like it's a character.
Of course.
But if that's all you see and you believe that then you might think that you are less than or I'm crazy or something's wrong with me because this is not my experience in motherhood. And I
right.
think there's always representation matters. And that's why I think I was so, you've been open about your anxiety that you've had postpartum,
oh, yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually want to back up. I don't know anything about your birth story or your pregnancy. Was your pregnancy easy or like?
It was, I was like nauseous my entire pregnancy. Mm. So I never felt good. There was
yeah.
like pockets of feeling good. I also had gestational diabetes.
yeah.
You I was like,
that?
What? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so did you find out after the test or whatever?
Like, yes.
Oh my
I had to
gosh.
Do the 3-hour and everything. I have never talked about that either. Just
really?
Because in the moment, I was like, thankfully, I'm very blessed that my mom is a dietitian and a
yeah.
diabetes educator. And I also used to own a low carb company. So
that.
I'm really familiar with like the low carb ketogenic
mm-hmm.
diet. Like I knew exactly what I had to do.
Yeah.
It was not what I wanted to do, but I also didn't feel like sharing that
yeah.
information would have provided me any benefit mentally.
Right, right.
So I was like, I'm going to choose to like, obviously I told my friends
yeah.
and family, they all knew, but I was like, I'm just not going to share that online.
Obviously,
yeah. I'm totally fine talking about it now, but
right.
at the time I was very upset because when you're pregnant, you don't feel well too.
No.
Like you're sick. All you want to do is like eat the things that
yes.
make you feel good.
Right. That's like the part of
or, like,
the
celebrate.
Joy of pregnancy.
Yeah.
I know.
And then you like couldn't.
Oh,
and
girl.
It was just, I have like
I'm
pictures
sorry.
Of myself just like crying through like makeup because I was doing like a maternity. I took it to look back on and laugh. Just like tears, makeup. Yeah. Dramatic.
Oh my gosh.
But as far as my labor and delivery, I had like a 30-hour labor, like really, really long.
Wow.
And I tried to go the all natural route.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got admitted at, I think I was like a 5.5.
Okay.
And then I only progressed to a 6. And I would have kept.
30 hours?
I would have kept going. But my OB at one point, she was like, I'm off. Like,
yeah.
I'm literally off the clock. And you are
day.
Tired. You
yeah.
haven't eaten. You haven't slept. You like, I had to have an IV because I was like dehydrated at,
right.
at that point. But I was doing everything I could.
Yeah.
It like wasn't even the pain anymore. Like
right.
it was the absolute exhaustion that she was like, I think you should think about an epidural. And
yeah.
I was like, yep, that's fine.
Like,
I was never really against it. I
right.
just kind of wanted to
you
like
wanted to try.
I wanted to labor in these
yeah.
beautiful like
yeah.
delivery, natural delivery
yeah.
rooms where you can stand
yeah.
up and stretch and do all the things.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got the epidural, first of all, like I think it was my blood pressure kept dropping.
Mm.
So I didn't even get a chance to like rest because I had people kept running in and like giving me shots in the thigh.
Jeez.
So I was like, I kept setting off the alarm. So that was not fun.
Sleep.
But as soon as I got the epidural, the new OB that was on the
yeah,
she came in and she checked me and she's like, okay, you're at this. We're going to do the epidural and then we're going to see if you progress. We'll give you some time. Like basically
yeah.
prepping me for
yeah.
any possible scenario.
Right, right.
So she gives me, I get the epidural and I feel like a little pop literally right away. And I was like, I think my water might have broken. And the nurse is like, maybe. And I was like, I'm definitely like, I feel like
right, right.
leaking
yeah,
a bit.
Feel, yeah.
And then the OB came in to check. And Dan says this was the craziest thing he's ever seen in his life. TMI.
Yeah, okay. There's no TMI in this.
I've never actually talked about my like labor.
Yeah.
Just because it's a lot. I'm just like tired. It's like, it's a tiring story.
No, I'm here for it.
She checked me and it was like the fountain of it was like Niagara Falls. Literally, he was like, it was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. People had to come in with like mops and everything. Like, so I guess I had kind of popped, like my water kind of broke a little bit. But then when she checked, it like fully exploded. Everywhere. Yeah. So then as soon as that happened, my contractions started like
going
intensified. I went from wherever I was to 10. Ready to push.
Yeah. Baby's heads out.
So quickly. And then they're like, we want to wait until she's a little bit lower. So I kind of like moved around a bit position wise. And then after all that time, like finally it was like time to push.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to get Pitocin or anything. Right. Okay. It was like I got the epidural.
Yeah. And that was all you
immediately.
Needed.
That was all I needed. No. I think I wasn't letting myself like fully relax.
Yeah.
I think I needed that. Obviously needed my water to break. And then something about her position must have shifted.
Yeah.
Because that's what my OB kept saying. She was like, her head just needs to be putting more pressure in this spot. Yeah. Well, whatever she did, it worked. And then I was able to deliver and
it was out.
Yeah. And then I hadn't slept. So that sucked. So I started off being like a mom with zero sleep, had been up for 30 hours, only a few of those with the epidural. And
was this in COVID? So 2022, were they still doing like COVID things?
No.
Okay.
No, thankfully. I think they kind of like was enforced masks a little bit, but I was like, I am in labor.
Right.
I am not wearing a mask. Girl, like I had to be like,
I know, a little bit, exactly.
But I can't imagine like the moms.
Oh, that was me
during COVID. Oh
yeah,
my
I had
gosh.
I pushed out two babies with a mask on. I didn't even realize. I think they would have let me take it off maybe, but it was just so fast. Sick. And so I was just pushing and I didn't realize I couldn't really breathe.
And twins.
And girl, it's not for the weak.
You are, to me, you are like the superhero
of the world. All moms are, I swear. But that's interesting. So you weren't able to relax. You got the epidural and then you were able to relax.
Yeah.
And now, like you stay in the hospital. I feel like when you have a vaginal birth, it's like, what, one day?
Two days? Had me stay two nights.
Two nights. Okay.
I think everything was fine. Like her blood sugar was fine
because
you know, they have to, I think, monitor her because of the GD. But I was so good about it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the woman I was seeing at maternal fetal medicine, she was like, I don't actually think that you have this. And I was like, it's honestly because my body, I kind of ate more low carb too before, lower carb. And then my body with that glucose.
Right. The thing that you have to drink.
My body's not like that.
Right.
Like my blood sugar clearly like skyrocketed. It's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll try like the fresh test or something else.
Or something
Either
else.
Way, like that drink.
That drink is, I mean.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Like I could handle it, but my body
did not like it.
Yeah.
When I took it with my first.
Who would?
He's like, oh, this is great. With my first, I had like because you take it and then there's something. And then I had to do the second one whenever that, I guess.
That's the three hour one.
Yeah.
I swear my veins, I looked like, I don't even want to say like, you know, but. It was like bruising everywhere because they kept doing the same vein.
Oh my gosh.
Because it like
Lauren.
This side has a really good vein.
Right. You know where your good vein is.
Like, just do it. It was so rough. That was rough because nobody wants to be there for three hours and getting your blood taken and drinking the
stuff.
Yeah.
And then so then after that, I don't know. Like so then you have to go to MFM, like maternal fetal medicine, every week.
And
becomes like high risk.
She was
or
not
something.
Helpful. I was like, I am more helpful. Like,
I know
what
to
I'm
do. Doing.
They made me go to these appointments also, like to check growth.
Yeah.
Piper was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. She was
fine. Solid. Yes.
Yeah. And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. It's not the end of the world.
If someone
you have
is dealing
GD,
with that.
It's okay.
Exactly. You'll be
like,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so now let's get past, like, after you come home, after birth. I know you've been very open about your postpartum anxiety. It's something I struggled with as well. How did it show up for you? What did that look like?
It's funny because it's showing up.
Are you an anxious person?
Am I an anxious person? I am the anxious. I am very anxious.
Really?
it showed up in many ways. I can think back to those days. Like, I remember them so clearly.
Really?
The sun going down. That was, like, my main trigger.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, I was the type of person that needed, like, 10 hours of sleep to survive. And that's what I was most scared of. And it's funny that I ended up with a child that, like, doesn't sleep still at – she's over 2.5 now.
Jeez.
So it was, like, a little joke played on me. But I've adapted. But, yeah. The nights were really, really long. Yeah. Also, I breastfed and also pumped, too.
Okay.
I think I was, like, so scared of losing my supply that I ended up, like, going a little cuckoo. And
overpumping.
Yeah, pumped a lot. So, like, I had a pretty decent supply for a long time, but I also wore myself out.
Yeah.
Like, I was waking up in the middle of the night twice a night to pump.
And she wasn't. She didn't need it. You were just doing it to keep your supply up.
Yeah, just in case.
Girl!
Like, I was like, just in case I got sick or just in case this or
that. Is not
and
for
I
the
remember
week.
I was like posted about it because I think it was like one of the 1 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I posted on Instagram and one of my doulas, I had two doulas for my birth. I ended up having both of them at the same time. That was a complete like not supposed to be the case, but there was a crazy situation over that. She was like, I think you're good.
Yeah.
It was like past the 12 week mark.
Right.
It was like, I think you can cut down a pump. And I was like,
no,
I don't know about this. I started doing like one overnight instead. And then I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
I know.
I had a mini freezer that my parents gifted to me so I could store all this milk, and I ended up like donating most of it to my friend.
Yeah, just say that's liquid gold.
Yeah, and like I don't think Piper drank anything from my stash.
Like I'm good. That is wild.
It was so much.
I think that makes sense though, because I've heard that postpartum anxiety shows up in like a couple different ways. One's around sleep.
Yeah,
like the nighttime. Like when you said the sun goes down, I felt that.
It's a scary time. And it is kind of still scary to me.
Right.
Like, yeah. When she has a bad night, I will still feel that way a lot of the times.
I remember when we were on the Disney cruise. I don't know when I think Ryan was talking to Dan or talking to you all. I'd gone to the bathroom and came back. And then I sat down. And Ryan's like, Piper doesn't sleep or something like that. Because we were like, well, you guys could do when she goes to sleep. And you guys looked at us like, yeah, she doesn't. And we were like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. So she's still.
Yeah. Yeah.
She won't do that forever. Like,
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I think every child's different and they teach us different things. My twins are like twins. They're born at the same time for 15 minutes apart. And biologically, they need different sleep. Like, twin B will always sleep in. Evergrace will always be up and at them. Like,
that's
she's
so
the one.
Cute.
You know what I mean? And these are like twins. So I know that every child is different.
Right.
And I feel like people have so many, like, there's so many different things if you talk about on the internet. People are like, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing this.
Right.
Feeding is one. Sleep is one. And another thing that my postpartum anxiety like was around was milestones, right? Or if kids were hitting the same milestones.
Yep.
And I feel like these are triggers maybe for strangers or something. But did you ever share online about Piper's sleep? How did you feel about that?
I did.
Yeah.
I have actually. That's probably been one of the things I've shared most about.
Yeah.
Is her sleep. I have talked about it on a podcast too.
Yeah.
Basically, we talked about her like sleep. In general, her sleep has always been so bad, and I feel like for so long I was trying to like fix her, and it got to a point where we tried all these things. I was not willing to do the cry it out method, just because also we didn't have the space, like we were in an apartment. She was in our room.
That's how I was
cannot do this.
Also,
I just realized it really with Piper. Once you rule out health concerns,
right?
She did have reflux for a long time,
okay.
And she still kind of has bouts of acid reflux, which is what we think. But it really does come down to temperament.
Yeah,
and Piper is her temperament does not lend itself to sleep.
Yeah,
she is like a high needs child, and once we kind of realized that, it was like a kind of a weight lifted.
Right.
It's like we might not be sleeping well for a long time, and people still, even my parents are like, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to let her cry.
Always,
well, I'm like,
yeah. I love Boomer.
But
Rivers.
No. But no.
Yeah.
Like that will stress me out more than anything. And then no one's benefiting.
Exactly.
So, yeah, once I realized that this is just her and she's not always going to be this way, like it will get better.
Right.
It has gotten better. Like there have been kind of moments. It's always when she's either she's sick. Mm-hmm. Or she's like hitting a milestone or like changing.
Yes. And they're supposed to do that.
Yeah. Too. And like then her sleep is really interrupted. We still go back and forth. Like tonight is my night to sleep.
Yeah. Because you were saying that you and Dan
we
take
switch
turns.
Off. And that we didn't always do that because we slept together. So now that we do have that, it really does feel amazing. Yeah. Like I'm a different person because I know that I'll be able to sleep at least every other night.
Exactly.
Like, it's an amazing thing. And if she has a good night when I'm, you know, with her, then it's just, I'm like, people live like this.
Right.
Like, and this is amazing.
Right. And it's like, sleep is so important. And I think, like, parents always compare, like, my child's not sleeping or this person did sleep training. Should I, like, do what you feel? You know your child best and you know you best.
Whatever you feel.
Whatever works.
Right. Whatever works. I have some friends that have, you know, done the sleep training methods and it's worked perfectly for them.
Yeah.
And their kids sleep amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Mine doesn't, but maybe my next will.
Yeah.
I also bought an Oura ring.
Oh, I went. Yeah.
I really was interested in my sleep
and
how it affects.
What did it say?
I'm a hot mess. My sleep last night was good. But my sleep the past couple weeks has not been good. And it's funny because every time I don't sleep well for at least 2 days in a row, my Oura ring will be like, you have minor signs. And like, it'll say minor signs or major signs.
What are the signs of what?
It's like your biometrics are off.
Oh.
And it can tell you kind of when you're getting sick. Yeah. It like tracks all of these different biometrics, sees when your body is like under strain and can, tell you all these things. So I was like, oh my gosh. Sleep is directly related to,
Health, yeah.
And me especially, like, I swear I will not sleep for 2 nights. Right before we left for Disney World, it was, like, minor signs, and it was, like, major signs. I was like, I'm dying, what do I do? We can't go, we have to cancel the trip. But I ended up sleeping better that night we got there.
When you got
and
there.
I woke up, and it was fine.
It was fine.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
So Oura Ring just kind of, like, highlights, okay. Like your health, like we know these things.
Yeah.
Or we feel it, but we're like, oh, it's probably fine.
It's great for trackle.
What the hell?
Cycle tracking. It's good for trackle.
I like trackle. We're going to make that a thing.
Like, let's start an app, trackle. It's good for that. It's really great for sleep activity. It's like,
Yeah. Okay.
But it is really interesting.
Sleep is, I think that's why I like the newborn stage. I think it was in COVID though. Breastfeeding, I didn't really enjoy that much with the twins, and I just...
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Remember, oh gosh, just the lack of sleep, girl.
I was cannot just like imagine.
Just like one on each, tandem feed. I would tell. It's funny because like my boobs, everyone's boobs, I think are different sizes, but I kept on forgetting to switch the twins.
And I was gonna say, did you produce more in one? Because my right was the star.
Really?
Yeah. So I can't imagine like. I guess every other feed you probably...
Yeah. So it depended on the child. So Shiloh ate more. Mm-hmm. So if my twin B, which is Shiloh, was always on my right, then that boob would just be like, boom. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I need to switch Shiloh to
my
other
gosh,
one because they just ate different things.
Yeah.
But like, that's the thing. But I think people do have, like, do you have more of a letdown in... What's the letdown? I don't even know if I'm saying this right. Letdown means like the one...
It's like when it starts flowing, like the milk starts flowing.
So did you have more on your right, you were saying?
Yes.
Just like naturally.
Yes.
Okay.
I would always like, if I would always naturally put Piper on
the right.
The right. But
that's another thing.
Also, postpartum anxiety came in. I was breastfeeding and I really wanted to breastfeed, but I started really stressing out that she wasn't getting enough, that she wasn't gaining enough weight. Yeah. And then she was having bad reflux. I brought it up to the doctor and she said, maybe you should try bottle feeding for a couple weeks.
Mm.
and like pumping and bottle feeding to see, because my letdown was really strong and it would like choke her.
Oh, it was coming out so fast.
I was like, oh no. So then I was like in my head about that. And I was like, okay, maybe I should just pump and feed her. Yeah. And I kind of wish I didn't listen. Or I wish I kind of trusted myself, trusted her cues.
Yeah.
And didn't. Not that it's bad, but it was a lot more work.
Right.
You know, pumping, like, pumping really is not for the week. A lot of work.
I hated that. I would not have been able to, like, give breast milk if I had to do exclusive pumping. Yeah. I don't see how moms do that. That's, like, the one thing I hated
putting
doing.
Her on the boob. Also, her latch was so bad. I had, like, bloody nipples. Oh! Oh, yeah. That's why I was like, okay, I have to pump for a bit, because I was on, like, a prescription, like, thing to put on, like, my nipples.
Oh, shit, girl.
It was so bad. You so we're like, that tough. Latch, too. Maybe with the bottle, she'll latch better. So then it just became, Dan and I both honestly fed into each other. We're like, she's not gaining enough weight.
Right.
Like, we need to know how much she's eating. We need to, like, put it in the bottle so we can track.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that also was a huge part of my postpartum anxiety.
100%. I think, like, fixating on feeding, and then for me, it was, like, fixating on milestones, because my girls were twins. So if one walked and the other one wasn't walking, or the one was, like, doing something crawling and the other one wasn't, I was like, what's wrong? And, like, the doctor would be like, it's fine. Give it.
They're two different.
They're two different people. They're literally just siblings born at the same time. And it's just, I think it's something that twin parents sometimes struggle with, is sleep and also just the milestone things. Okay, so let's talk about now you blew up before Piper, right? Like, you, your social media following happened. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was you and I, and, like, a stairwell, and you singing. What were you singing?
All the things.
Yeah. What was, like, honestly, the big one that blew up, like, first?
You know, I want to say Titanic soundtrack.
Yeah.
But in reality, the first kind of viral stairwell video I did, it was singing that song. It was like a siren song, like a mermaid song.
Yeah. That's when I saw it. I don't know. I know what you're talking about.
My heart is pierced by Cupid. I forget. Yeah. But it was like this little, like, siren-y kind of song thing. And then I was like, oh, people really like that, like, eerie.
Yeah. Kind of like.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, let haunting. Me feed into that and do more music in that style.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, I had been singing, I think Titanic, Hymn to the Sea was the first song I sang in the stairwell. Because that was, like, the first thing it's the first thing I think of all the time. Like, I love that soundtrack so much.
It
is so gorgeous.
Yes.
And anytime I'm in an environment that has a good acoustics,
you're like, this is what I'm going to do. I love it.
So, yeah, it was Titanic, and then that, and that kind of led to all different things, getting, like, requests on TikTok, a lot of Disney.
Yeah.
So I did do a lot of Disney before she was born, too. And then throughout pregnancy, more Titanic, more random things, Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack. Okay. I think I have a video on YouTube singing Hymn to the Sea from Titanic on my due date, because she was almost 2 weeks late.
Okay.
So
So
I was like, I thought I was due.
Yeah.
I was not.
Like, nah, you're going to wait a little bit. I love that. And so now, like, fast forward, Piper's born. She's such a big part of your life.
Yes.
Right? And then you start to share her a little bit online. Tell me how that's been. And I think that's something we kind of briefly discussed when we were at Disney, too. Just, like, this whole balance of sharing your life.
Right.
Because you're a mom, and that's our lives. And also the balance and boundaries of sharing your kids. And how do you feel about that? How has that been for you?
Well, there was, like, a huge shift in my content when she was born because I just, first of all, didn't have the time to like be like, BRB, I'm gonna go to the stairwell really quick.
Meanwhile, my nipples are chapped. Yeah. Ignore that.
Did not have that time. Like, did not really have the mental space either.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think back to that time when I was like, what content am I gonna make? It was a lot of silly videos and then singing to her. And I was like, I loved that shift of singing all the songs that I loved, but to my daughter.
Yeah.
And eventually I still did go back into the stairwell and sing a bit, but it was just different.
Yeah.
It was like, now my content, it wasn't as much like, I want my daughter to be featured in my content.
Yeah, it
was more like, this is my life and I'm a full-time mom. but also a musician and content creator. So yeah. These are real glimpses of singing along or singing to her throughout the day that I'm going to share because that is my niche.
Right, right.
It's an interesting niche being like a musical content creator because I don't feel like I fit in anywhere.
That is interesting. I'm music,
but I'm also like lifestyle. Style. Like I'm also like a person that does share, but I feel like I am more private than most influencers.
Yeah.
But I also do...
It's weird. It's a weird balance. And I think like it's something I didn't think about before as much. And I'm starting to, I think, a little bit more now. I think because my girls are older than yours, too. And they love, like, if the ring light comes out, they get excited and they love it, but they don't fully understand. I think, well, I never shared this, but what shifted for me, and probably, I don't know if we might keep this in, but one of their viral videos is like when they were in their cribs, like, and there was like a baby monitor and they were separated because one was sick. And then, that was the first time they were alone. They were like 18 months, and they're just like hugging and kissing, and Ever's like consoling her. It's just very, very cute, and they're so babies doing this. And so it's like the baby monitor. I caught it. I just threw it up and didn't think anything of it. It was like in the very beginning of, I wasn't really even creating content. Fast forward, like that video just picked up wildly viral to the point where the Daily Show did like an article on it, and then, unbeknownst to me, like shared it. Like it was on like the morning boost or something.
Wow.
And my girlfriend was on a plane from I think Atlanta to maybe Nashville. And she just takes a video of the behind the seat. And it's my girls like on the plane, like TV. I was like, where are you looking at this? She's like, your girls are on the Today Show right now. Like Carson Daly's talking about it. I'm like, wait, what? And like my immediate reaction wasn't like excitement. I felt protective.
There's
like,
a scary part of going viral.
Going viral.
Especially when your children are involved.
Right. And like luckily that's the Today Show. I love Hoda. I love the Morning Boost. That's a very nice channel. But I think like the idea that I didn't know it was going out. Like I had no clue. I had done an article, an interview, but I didn't know they were going to take it. And I never got warning. And the fact that that was taken and then shared so publicly without my permission, like beknownst to me, I was like, okay, it just kind of made me shift. I think about what I'm thinking about when I'm sharing them. And it's something I still haven't figured it out. Like I still share my girls. They're a part of my life.
I'm in the same boat as you. It's like naturally I want to share because this is my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Like I am full-time mom in any like moment is usually just like a part of the day. Like I can't, sometimes like I'll try to start filming and Piper will literally be, she's around.
She's around, exactly.
I'm not like, come, stand in front, do this right now. Like, because we need to make this video. It's usually just like a natural thing. But a lot of people have been like brought up, like, why do you have your children and this? And it's made me think, obviously, a lot. And as she gets older, I kind of maybe have to reevaluate that too. And there's days where I'm like, I don't want to show her at all.
Same.
And then there's days where I'm like, this is a fun moment we had or a special moment that I want to share with my supportive audience.
Yeah.
But then there's the people here and there that make you like, okay, I'm going to take her out of the ballgame.
Right.
And especially when it came down to like her diagnosis recently.
Yeah. Can you share more about that?
Yeah.
Because I know you were I was like following you along.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not ready to share yet. Like even to your stories and things like that. But I empathized so much with that.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me a little bit more about...
Yeah, I was like, cue the postpartum anxiety returning.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Hey.
So with that, it's so hard because I feel like naturally over the years, going on Instagram stories and just like venting is like a big part of my life.
Yes.
And I don't share that much, but I share enough.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that... like confirmation of diagnosis, it's like part of me wanted to go like hide in a hole and like not tell anybody.
Yeah.
And the other part wanted me to be like, okay, this is what's going on. And this is why I'm going to be this way for a while. And this is why you're not going to see this content for a bit. Yeah. And that's because I am a very honest person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like get on stories and act like everything's fine or, you know, film cute videos if I'm like really suffering.
Yes.
So that was, and it's still a challenge. I mean, she was just technically diagnosed. There could be a different diagnosis for her, but she was just diagnosed with a rare bone disease called Ehlers, also known as enchondromatosis. And she could have something called Maffucci's, but we would need more testing.
Yeah.
which I'm not, and the doctors also agree that it doesn't make sense right now to put her through more testing when she's seemingly fine.
Yeah.
Like an MRI at her age is really hard because she'd have to go under, and she's already been under for an MRI of her head when she had a hemangioma.
Oh, I think I remember listening to this. You've shared this. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So she was just under six months, like 5 months at the time. And putting her under for that was stressful enough. But she had what's called a deep hemangioma. So a lot of kids are born with something called a strawberry hemangioma, which is like a red, you know, raised part. So what she had was a deep one. And it was like, basically they are vascular benign tumors. So hers was growing, and we started noticing a small bump under her. Like, what is that? We thought it was a cyst at first, and it started growing. Oh, it was growing rapidly, and then it kind of changed colors because it was growing so much. So you could see underneath it was vascular. Huh. And we're like, what is this? I didn't have hemangiomas. Yeah. Nobody in my family has. Nobody in Dan's family. So we ended up getting the MRI. Get an ultrasound and an MRI, and then we saw a cardiologist who put her on something called propranolol, which is a beta blocker that's actually able to shrink these infantile hemangiomas. Jeez, it's this like random medicine people are on for, you know, as a beta blocker, but in small doses, kids can take it, and it's shrunk. It literally worked overnight. We started to notice a difference, and she was on it for, I want to say, like maybe 6 to 8 months.
And
she still has, you can kind of see a little bump. Yeah. But they say at some point they just go away.
Yeah.
But when she got diagnosed with the all ears disease, which is benign bone tumors, we noticed like her finger from a young age was like larger. And like, what is this? Our pediatrician at the time just said it was like some congenital defect and didn't really look into it. But we brought it up most recently at her, I think, 2-year appointment.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was like, let's get an ultrasound or an x-ray on that. Yeah. And thankfully, she took it seriously. She's feeling around. It definitely looks different now because she's grown.
Yeah.
And that x-ray did not give us what we were expecting. I don't know what we were expecting. She had put into our mind maybe, you know, when she was born, it was broken during labor and then healed weird. So we were not thinking bone tumors or multiple.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And so she has them on 4 out of 5 fingers on her left hand, none on her right, which is interesting because all ears is a disease that usually affects one side of the body.
Wild.
So yeah, she has 4 fingers affected, and I think maybe might go a little bit deeper into her hand, but we most recently had a bone scan, and it showed that it's not in any other parts of her body, which is amazing for now. Obviously, she's going to be monitored for the rest of her life to see, because it can show up in other places.
Right.
Maffucci syndrome, though, is a combination of the bone tumors and vascular anomalies.
My gosh.
So we're like, oh my gosh, was this related all along?
Yeah.
Was this like also a signal that she has maybe more in her body that you can't see? We met with the vascular anomalies team at Vanderbilt, which is where she goes to the hospital now. And they have a whole team for her with the bone and the vascular anomalies. And she, right now, they think that might just have been a fluke infantile hemangioma. So she might not have Maffucci's, but she will be seen in 6 months. She's going to get an ultrasound of her stomach to make sure there's nothing else. And then she's going to probably have to get genetic testing just to rule out
everything.
Yeah. Just to kind of see what shows up.
Right.
But it's not hereditary, but it's a genetic mutation. Yeah. So her genes just went a little crazy.
My Piper.
So much to handle. Yes. At one time I was like, wait a second, what?
Girl. Yes.
And if you go online and look up all ears or Maffucci's,
I was like,
I am going to pass out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the different issues that can come up. But obviously the biggest issue potentially as she gets older is the tumors turning malignant. So that is why she will need to be monitored forever, basically, and probably get surgery in the next year to remove them and hope they don't grow back, but it is really common to get multiple surgeries because they do tend to grow back. But we are just, our doctor has been amazing. She's been really encouraging about how Piper's case seems really mild. Mm-hmm. So just praying that, you know, stays in one hand, can manage it, go through the surgeries and just continue monitoring her. That's all we can do. Right. We've gotten a lot of support.
Right. I think it was so brave of you sharing it online.
That's another huge thing. Yeah. Like Dan and I, and even my like family was like, maybe I don't think you should share. And I was like, you know, part of me agrees because of the random people that can be really hurtful. And they obviously didn't want anything to hurt my feelings or anybody to, you know, make me viral.
Yeah.
And they didn't want anyone talking about her negatively too. Right. But then another part of me was like, this is, I think, so important to talk about because I had never heard of this rare disease in my life. Yeah. And I feel like talking about stuff like that can also open the doors to meeting a community that's going through the same thing. Or just, I've met a ton of moms with children with rare diseases and they just, it means a lot to have someone talk about it for once.
Yes.
So that was awesome. And I actually connected with a follower of mine who has all ears, which is, it's so rare. So that was amazing. And then another one that I met through a friend who has Maffucci's, which is the even more rare syndrome. And they've been so great and so supportive. Yeah. And I was, once we shared about her diagnosis, I was really preparing myself for, I don't know, like a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And I have only seen good things come from it. Yeah. And I've only felt more empowered.
Right.
And I feel like I'm not like hiding anymore. Yeah. Like I'm like, this is what's going on. I did have someone message me today or yesterday. I shared a video of Piper playing, like pounding on the piano. Yeah. And someone was like, her finger looks weird. Like, is something wrong with her? And I was like, well, she has this.
Yeah.
So, and they were like, oh no, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's fine. It's like, she's going to be okay. Yeah. She's just going to need monitoring. But yeah, I'm like,
this is my life. This is what's
my
life.
This is my child. She's healthy and she's happy. Yeah. And she's
perfect.
She has this like rare, she's special.
She's very special. Yes.
She has this rare disease and she is surviving and thriving. And
I was so inspired by you when you posted that. And I just thought of it so brave. And I know how much courage that took. Especially like my Shiloh had, it was just a nevus mole, but it was very small when she was born. It kept on getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And then cancer runs on her dad's side. So they were like, we got to remove it. So we did. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there would be so many comments like, what's wrong with her eye? Like, if someone beat her up, I'm like, no, she has, I'm like, she's beautiful. It's like, you know, and the internet can
beauty mark.
It's a beauty mark. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then when she had it removed, I shared just like the process of how I felt just having your child go under when they're that little. For the most part, it's all been positive. And I do think when you do share stories of real things that are happening with our kids, it has the potential to just help so many.
Absolutely.
And like, that's, I think, the balance, right? Mm-hmm. On social media, it's mostly positive. I think like both of our pages are pretty positive.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine if it was the opposite. I'd be on. I'd be like, deuces. This is my mental health. Like, I can't deal with it. What's the weirdest DM you've ever gotten? Have you?
Oh my gosh. I cannot even. I honestly feel like part of my brain just deleted all of it. Because I, in the moment, have read messages that have just like shocked me to my core.
Please.
Actually, some of the, I've had weird DMs. Yeah. I have gotten a few really evil ones.
Really?
Too.
Like,
especially postpartum, like when you're freshly postpartum and you have people like wishing death upon your newborn.
That's You're like, crazy? What?
Excuse me, what? And it's like, now I can look back at that and be like, that was crazy. Why did I let that affect me? But then when you're in that like hormonal mental state and somebody's saying that to you, wild. I was like, I am taking her off the internet. Like, I'm taking myself off. Yeah.
See, I don't really read DMs. I'm not good at them.
I get really weird ones.
What's like the strangest? I feel like you probably get some weird dudes. I don't know why.
Yeah, I just blocked one. Do you just block? I have like 50 of the same message asking if I can do, remember my big comfy couch?
Yeah.
Like Molly and like the, when they would do the clock. He kept asking me to do that. And I was like, if you looked back on the DMs, it was like 50 of them at different times in my life. And I just had like Just seen it. And I was like, this? I don't know. Block. He might be watching, block. Honestly, this. But, like, I was like, immediately block. Insane. That's insane.
I got a lot when I was pregnant. People would be like, can I see your belly button? Can I be there for the birth? I was like,
oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fetish. There's fetishes.
Crazy.
It's wild.
Crazy things.
Okay. Well, I kind of want to end on, like, a little bit of a good note. We're going to do a little Mad Libs. Okay. So I'm just going to ask you for...
I feel like I have to
Caroline,
prepare
Caroline, are we good on time? Is this okay? Okay. I don't know which one to choose. Okay, we'll see how many. Okay, we'll do this one first. Just give me a noun. Hopefully you can read my handwriting. Any noun that comes to mind.
Purse.
Purse. Okay. Give me an adjective.
Angry.
Love it. Okay. Give me a person's name.
John.
Okay. Love it. Body part.
Arm.
Okay. Hopefully you can read my handwriting when it comes out. Okay. A plural noun.
Roses.
Okay. A noun.
Camera.
Really bad handwriting. Okay, adverb. I know adverbs are harder.
Is that? I think it's a jump or is it an action
like
verb? Right.
Yeah, like I think it just ends with ly in my head. But I might be wrong. Is wait. That?
Dude, I think we need to go back to school.
Yeah, I know. I feel like this will be relatable. Yeah, but like quickly or like
let's go with that, girl. Yeah. Like quickly.
Oh, is that ever? Yeah, I just.
We need to
English.
Brush up on this.
Okay, noun.
Like, whoa.
English is hard. It's a really hard language.
It really is.
Noun.
I don't know why goose just came to
I
my
like
mind.
It. Go with it. I'm
Let's
here
go with
for
the
it.
Random things.
Okay, a few more. Noun.
Shoe.
I hope you know this song. Adjective.
I hope I do too. Silly.
Verb.
Kiss.
Kiss. I'm trying to think of them with you. Verb ending in ing.
Jumping.
Okay. And then the noun.
Earring.
I love it. A past tense verb. Just think of a verb and then put ed on the end.
Cursed. No, that's a
was
word.
That
wait.
I think you, cursed is one because you
is
can
it?
Curse. To curse.
Okay.
Cursed.
Okay.
It just Perfect. Wasn't the first one that jumped to my mind. A place.
The mall.
Left the mall. Okay. And then an adjective and then a noun.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Disaster.
I love it. Okay. I'm going to give you this now. Hopefully you can understand my handwriting, but you're singing A Whole New World. Do you know this
I
song?
I do know this song.
Hopefully you can read my handwriting. At the end it says, when will my life begin? It's like the next, because it's cut
off.
Oh,
cute.
Okay. Do you want me to? You're gonna do it? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lauren Paley.
I'm like trying to think of the key.
Do you want me to play it really quick or just like the key? You got it, girl.
I'll do it my own key.
Yeah, do your own key.
I can show you the purse, shining, shimmering, angry. Tell me, John, now when did you? Why, I can't even do it. Now when did you last let your arm decide? I can open your roses, take you wander by camera, over sideways and quickly on a magic goose ride, a whole new shoe, a new silly point of view, no one to kiss us, no. Or where to go, or say we're only jumping. A whole new earring, a dazzling place I never cursed. But when I'm way up mall, it's crystal beautiful. That now I'm in a whole new disaster with you.
Oh my gosh, yes, Lauren, you are the best. That was remarkable. Yes. I don't think we could do
Hilarious.
Another top of that.
I love that.
Let us know, let my listeners know where they can find you following along or anything creative that you have coming up. Like, are we doing the lullaby thing? Go on. Okay.
We are.
When you do,
yeah,
it's going to blow up.
I really Girl. Should. I know that has been kind of, this year has been.
It's been wild.
Slow.
I know.
But you can find me on TikTok at Lauren Paley, Instagram at Lauren _Paley because someone took Lauren Paley. YouTube at Lauren Paley, everywhere Lauren Paley, Facebook Lauren E. Paley, But if you look up Lauren Paley on Google, you should be able to find me. And you can stream. I have a few new covers out, two new Titanic covers, and then Once Upon a December from Anastasia. Out now on Spotify and all other streaming platforms. And then hopefully some cool new stuff this year.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Well, thank you, girl, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. I was like, I could talk forever.
I know. I was like, we have a time limit. We're going to keep on talking after this. But thank you. Thanks, thank you all for listening. I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.
And that's a wrap for this episode of That Twin Mama Podcast. But before you go, let me tell you how you can keep this village growing. First things first, are you subscribed? If not, what are you doing? Hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening so you never miss a new episode. We're streaming on all major platforms, so let's make it official. Secondly, let's stay connected on socials. Follow us on That Twin Mama Podcast on Instagram for short form relatable content, and follow us on YouTube at That Twin Mama Podcast for entire episodes in all of their glory. And lastly, and this is a big one, if you liked what you heard today, please leave a review. Your five-star love means so much to me and the team behind the scenes and helps us to keep going. It also helps us to find parents like you who need to listen to these episodes, which mean the world. So until next time, take care of you, take care of your crew, and remember, you're doing an amazing job. See you soon. Peace.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. I hope you're ready for the most dippable chicken in McDonald's history. Dip it in all the sauces. Dip it in that hot sauce in your bag. Dip it in your McFlurry. Your dip is your business. McCrispy strips at McDonald's.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.